I grew up in a town in Arkansas smaller than the exposed part of this stage. And I was small and strange because I stopped talking from the time I was 7 and a half until I was 12 and a half.
The cadence is unmistakable. It only takes a few words to know when you're listening to the voice of Maya Angelou.
I was known to be weird, but Black Americans didn't call me weird. People would see me in the road. My grandmother owned most of the land behind the town, most of the land the poor whites lived on, most of the land the blacks lived on, and the only black-owned store in the town. And so people had many reasons to be angry with Mama, since Mama was severe. So people disliked my grandmother. I understand that. They'd see me in the street and say, mm-mm, it's a shame Sister Henderson's California granddaughter done gone mental. Or, shame Sister Henderson's California granddaughter, you know. So they didn't actually say I was weird, but I was pretty weird. I understand that. However, Mama explained to me all the time, Sister, Mama don't care what these people say about you being a idiot, about you being a moron. Mama know when you and the good Lord get ready, Sister, you're gonna be a preacher. I used to sit there and think, poor ignorant Mama. I mean, really. I will never speak. What does she mean, preach? Oh, what a shame and disappointment Mama has in store for her.
Well, she didn't exactly become a preacher, but her mother was right. Words became her divine instrument. Her poems, her memoirs, and her performances, a kind of benediction. Maya Angelou, who died in 2014, was a sage and officially a national treasure. President Obama gave her the 2010 Presidential Medal of Freedom. When he introduced her, he mentioned that his own sister was named after her, and he said Angelou had risen with unbending determination and spoken to the conscience of our nation. As you listen, you'll occasionally hear a question from someone in the audience. But we'll start with Maya Angelou herself, here explaining why, as a child, she suddenly fell silent.
I spoke until I was 7 and a half. And then at 7 and a half, I was raped. And the man, I told the name of the rapist to my family. He was put in jail. He was out the next day. And the next day, he was found dead. And I thought that my voice had killed him. So I stopped speaking for almost 6 years. I had voice, but I simply refused to use it. So I was what was called a volunteer mute. Mm-hmm. After 2 or 3 years, I forgot why I stopped speaking. I just didn't talk. And it was the love of poetry and a mentor who drew me out of myself. She told me I loved poetry. I wrote about it. I wrote it. Bad poetry, admittedly. The worst west of the Rockies. Bad, bad poetry. But I had a tablet, which I kept in my belt, and I wrote everything. Anytime anybody asked me anything, my answers were written. And this woman told me, Mrs. Flowers in Arkansas, she said, if you really loved poetry, you would speak it. She was the one who had started me to reading it. And then she said, until you feel it come across your teeth, over your tongue, through your lips, you will never love poetry. So I don't want to hear you speak. I don't want you to tell me. I will not read anything you write. And I wept for 6 months, and I mulled around and puled around, and she kept harassing me until finally I went under the house with a book of poetry, and I tried to speak, and I had voice. And as you see, I've almost not stopped talking.